This weekend, the Missouri Botanical Garden will reopen the building that served as its original natural history museum. The building has been closed since the 1980s. It has been renamed the Stephen and Peter Sachs Museum. St. Louis Public Radio's Eli Chen walked through the space with archivist Andrew Colligan about the building's history and renovation work.
We're currently standing in the main hall of the Gardens Museum building. This was part of the garden's original design. Construction began in 1859 when the garden opened. This was the original building, which was the scientific research facility for the garden. It housed the original library and herbarium.
And what sort of roles did it play leading up to when it closed in the 1980s?
After Shaw died, he had his townhouse moved out here. Today we know that as the Schoenberg Administration Building. And so when they moved that out here after Shaw died, that became the main research facility. And then this building became a kind of a annex. And so some wood collections, timber collections were moved back here in the 1920s in the basement. Arthur Pillsbury, a pioneer of time-lapse photography, did some of the first time-lapse photography on plants blooming and growing. And over the course of the years, this was used as the main auditorium for the garden up until 1972. In the late 1980s, Joe Ernesto Ewan, he was a retired professor from Tulane University. He had an excellent natural history book collection. A lot of them were first editions. And that collection actually got housed in this building from 1987 to 1997. And after that, we started to kick around ideas of how can we get this building open to the public again. But it did have its challenges, part of which is recreating this beautiful mural that is above us, which we encourage people to come down and see the building after it opens this weekend.
Yeah, so describe the mural for our audience.
Okay. The idea generally was that this was Shaw's Temple of Science, and that you would walk in and look up, and it's almost as if you're looking up through the ceiling of a Victorian greenhouse, and all these plants are looking down upon you as you look up into a blue sky. I worked up a key to all these, and so you'll be able to walk in here and actually look and see what all these plants are. They'll all be numbered and mapped out. Some of these plants have backstories. They're tied into famous botanists, some of which names line the top of the just below the mural up at the ceiling level.
Yeah, so why don't we walk into the other room and take a look at that mural? So tell me a little bit about how this was discovered.
Yes, and so this was it's always interesting when you're doing demolition on a building. A lot of times it starts to give up some of its secrets. But what it was is that there was a drop ceiling installed in this back room. And so they were doing demolition, and they started to punch a few holes in that drop ceiling, and they happened to punch one directly where the face of Dr. George Engelman is. And so I got a phone call saying, you have to come over and see this. There's a guy peeking out a hole in the ceiling down at us. Can you tell us who this is and what its importance is? And so I saw the portrait of Dr. George Engelman here. As mentioned, there's one of Carl Linnaeus and also Dr. Asa Gray from Harvard University. Asa Gray and Engelman collaborated together, and they helped guide Shaw as he was building developing the garden after it opened in 1859. And so what it shows is that Shaw was not a person who was going to hog all the credit. He definitely paid respects to those who helped guide him. He was really neither a botanist nor a horticulturist, but what he was a man with the wherewithal and had a vision and a dream and had the financial means to make it a reality. And so Shaw pays tribute to all these people who either helped build the science of botany or directly helped him develop and the garden as we know it today.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Eli Chen speaking with Missouri Botanical Garden archivist Andrew Colligan.